This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We'll be in conversation now with Sputnik Radao, who's the spokesperson for the Department of Water and Sanitation. And this is following the unqualified audit that they got from the Auditor General. Two in the past, what? This is the second one in the past 15 years. So 15 years, two clean audits. So it hasn't been that great at the department, as you would know. Also, what has come out of that is the irregular expenditure amounting to around 16 billion, about 10 billion for the 10 billion amount and the contracts relating to the 10 billion. What we have seen now is the department saying that there are investigations that are underway with regards to that, and some officials are going through disciplinary action. So we'll be speaking to Sputnik Radao about that. You can also give us a call on 0619870000. You can tweet at Aldrin Simpier, hashtag PowerTalk, and also tweet at PowerFM987. Sputnik, do we start off by saying congratulations? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm not sure if congratulations are quite the place to go.
Yeah.
As you correctly put it, that if you look at it in terms of the timeline, that in about more than a decade, this is just the second time that we are receiving an unqualified audit. So it's not the best that we should be celebrating, but it is an acknowledgement that we would like to have that at least there is a process that is taking us somewhere.
And even the Auditor General saying that things have improved.
Yes, because you see, that is the biggest thing that we have to do. We have to engage with the Auditor General to the point where he can, or rather the office, can be convinced that we are doing something right or we are going in the right direction, because over time, the Office of the Auditor General has been giving advice, has been engaging with us, and we must acknowledge the amount of work that that office has put towards making sure that as a department, as part of government, we also come to the party.
Yeah. And one of the issues that the Auditor General had raised as well was consequence management. And we've now heard the department indicating that there are consequence management processes currently underway.
That is true. By the way, the fact of the matter is that the some of these processes have started over quite a bit of time. But due to the issues of process, you understand that there would be investigations. You begin with the allegations. There are investigations. Then people are allowed to have an input as to whether the investigation outcomes are correct or not, according to them. And then all of those things. So it's a bit of time that might take. And some cases are much easier than others. And that is why you find that the timelines are not always constant. Otherwise, I think we would be in a different situation than what we see now.
And how far are some of those investigations?
They are at different points. There are some that have been finalized. There are others that are still in the process of finalization, whereas others are still under investigation. And that is why when you look at it, you look at all the arms that have been involved in it. Remember that even the SIU was given, I think, about two or three proclamations to look at specific issues around the workings of the department. That's the one. But we've also had our own internal audit that has raised some of the issues with management. And we've also had some of the cases that are already with the SAPS after long investigations. And because some of them also include the fact that the department has got to make an attempt at recouping some of the lost funds that could have been misdirected.
We'll touch on the financial recovery plan in a short while, but just quickly on the 10 billion rand distinction that was made by the DG in Parliament, where the indication was that there is also an application for condonation from Treasury, and that the officials involved in the 10 billion rand, that there is disciplinary processes underway. Can you just give us an understanding why there is that distinction, number one, from moving the 10 billion from the 16 billion as a collective, and then also the idea around the condonation?
Well, maybe to start in reverse.
Okay.
The idea for the condonation is in order to be able to assist the department, for instance, in terms of what's the word I'm looking for, or acceding to the processes that were, because the issue of condonation speaks to the fact that you could have found value in the work that was done. But the problem is that the process to get that work done could be the place where there was fault. For instance, you might have a situation where probably when a particular tender was awarded, there might not have been a quorum that was set by the bid committee, and so on and so forth. So it could be other internal issues that could have led to the process being faulty rather than a complete loss of money because there was no value that was then there was no value to the work that was done.
Okay.
So the work could not.
Is this now the fruitless and wasteful expenditure?
Whereas the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, it means that there was no benefit at all.
Yeah. Okay.
Whereas in terms of condonation, there was benefit, but the process to get to that benefit is the one that was not followed correctly.
Oh, okay. So it's not an issue about value for money.
It's not an issue about value for money. You condone because there was value for money,
yeah.
But the process is the problem where things are. And
okay.
Obviously, even that needs attention in terms of consequence management, because
yeah.
Those are processes that should not be found to be at fault, because they are auditable processes and they need to really be come out as squeaky clean.
Okay. And then the distinction between the 10 billion and the 16 billion and the DG also saying that the officials involved in the 10 billion, that they are undergoing disciplinary process.
Yes, there are different processes that are underway, all of them disciplinary, in terms of the fact that people have got to account to the actions that they have taken. I think that is what is the most important thing, that there must be accountability, because consequence management implies that accountability comes to the fore. And obviously out of that consequence management and accountability, then there is a decision to say, is there a need to go through to the law enforcement agencies, or what other processes can be taken? Because as the DG was indicating, a number of officials have already been sanctioned in terms of different processes. There are those that have been suspended, others have lost some of their income, because others have been without pay. Others have lost the time in terms of whatever process sanction must have been effected upon them. So there are all of those, and yet there is the bigger picture where there are some that will go through the law enforcement agencies, because the deeds are just too ghastly to have happened anyway.
Do you know of the number of criminal investigations that are underway?
There is a number I know that was given to the portfolio committee the other day. We can always come back to that, and I can give it to you.
Okay.
But there are I think about 139 cases that have been finalized, and out of 249 it's 249, I think, that were finalized. Can I just confirm those figures and I'll come back to you?
Okay, that's fine. Then let's move over to the financial recovery plan that was presented to the portfolio committee.
Yes, part of what we have been dealing with in terms of what the Auditor General was saying was that we needed to turn the financial fortunes of the department around. Now, some of the areas that we looked at as priority areas for us to effect or rather to have an effective financial recovery plan related to, one, the issues of policy. There needs to be finalization of some of our policy legislation and institutional matters so that we can be able to know exactly what happens. Because remember that even as a department, we're not just looking at ourselves as a department, because the work that we do also impacts on the institutions that report to the minister as well as to the sector broadly. So that is why issues of institutional matters also come to the fore, because they impact upon how we relate to our institutions, and therefore they also are able to perform accordingly because of such things that have been finalized. The alignment of strategic intent is something that we also needed to work around, because where you find that even the manner in which the department is configured does not actually speak to the strategy as you want to effect it, and therefore that needed to be looked at. And the funding and the budget management was also an issue that we are looking at. But in this instance as well, we are working closely with National Treasury, because they have an interest in how we then utilize the funding that is given to the department.
What's the concern there with the funding?
Well, the funding in the first place is whether the amount that has been given to the department is actually spent correctly. That is why the funding and the budget management go together, so that we can be able to make sure that, you know, in terms of the budget that is extended to the department and the performance of the department in terms of the outcomes of the audit, they've got to come to a point where they actually speak to one another. You cannot be in a situation where you spend 100% of your budget and yet your performance gives out a report of about 38%, 40% performance. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
So does this mean that the department needs to present its plans to Treasury?
Well, you must remember that the process is that departments present their plans to Parliament.
Yes.
And Parliament signs off. But obviously, Treasury then has got the final say as to how much gets budgeted for each department. But therefore, what we get from Treasury has got to speak to what we present to Parliament as an annual performance plan, so that we can then be measured against what we are saying we will be able to achieve in terms of as well how we spend the money that we get from Treasury. And so those two have got to go together.
And this would also apply to the water board?
This would also apply to the water board, because obviously whatever the performance that they ultimately do has got to be reported to Parliament as well. That is why every one of us has got a chance to go to Parliament at the end of every financial year to present our annual reports, obviously based on the annual performance plan of the previous year. But that annual performance plan of the previous year will also impact on your plans going forward, because you cannot then say, I have performed on this APP and therefore that's it, you are done. That we are an ongoing entity, and therefore we have to look at where we're coming from so that we can be able to plan accordingly.
And what are some of the steps that the minister has adopted to help you achieve those goals?
Well, one of the things that minister has given direction to, I think one of the things that she has done that has helped the department quite a lot is to appoint Mr. Mbulelo Changana, who is the Director General at Human Settlements, to come and act at water and sanitation, because one of the situations that we face is that kind of instability at the top that then does not give much confidence in the manner in which things are done. And therefore, Mr. Mbulelo Changana comes over, particularly because minister has worked with him before, and therefore knows exactly how he operates. And one of the things that minister was very clear about is that because Mr. Mbulelo Changana is very particular about process, he will be able to pull the department together so that we can be able to all know that before you think of anything else, you must make sure that the process towards attainment of that particular goal is actually followed to the letter. Because there are tools for us to be able to do that. You've got the PFMA, you've got the legislation, you've got all the tools that will have to actually help us to be able to get to the correct endpoint. And I think that kind of mentality will assist the department to be able to perform better going forward.
What does this then also then mean, Sputnik, in terms of the emergence of the two departments?
Well, you must remember that the two departments are not merged yet.
Yeah.
Or if ever they will be merged.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ministry that is a single ministry, but the departments are still two separate votes. So, but the advantage, I think, is that we then have a sister department that is very close by, from whom we can be able to copy some of the good practices.
Yes.
That we can find on the other side. By the way, this is something that is quite symbiotic, because also they are able to see some of the things that we do that they might not have thought about, and we are then able to actually look at each other and mirror some of the good practices that come from one another. But the main thing is that because we have one political head, and therefore the direction becomes quite focused. And when you look at the outcomes of the two departments, that both of them speak to ultimately the livelihoods of the people of South Africa.
Yeah.
And therefore, the functions of the two departments actually work together very closely.
Mm. And I wonder what this also then means for what the state, of course, the ANC had envisaged at the time when they spoke about human settlements, and having such a department as water and sanitation also being having one political head.
I think this is part of realizing that kind of foresight, and when you look at the reality, is that can you actually separate the issue of livelihoods from water and sanitation? The simple answer is that no, the two actually go together, because when you look at it, human settlements is not just about a roof above my head, but it also it speaks to what kind of amenities are available. How far or close am I to my place of work? What are the things that I need for me to be able to do, or rather to enjoy normal life? And what is normal life? Normal life is that I should be able to access the simple basic services of government as per what the constitution dictates.
Yeah. 0861-987-000 in conversation with Sputnik Radao, Water and Sanitation Department spokesperson. Questions that you have and clarity that you may need as well. You can also tweet at Aldrin St. Pierre, hashtag PowerTalk, and also tweet at PowerFM987.
Speak up. Call the Power Line on 0861-987-000.
Nico, good morning.
Good morning, Aldrin.
Sure, Nico.
Yeah.
You can go ahead.
My question is simple. The Department of Water and Sanitation and Human Settlement is sitting with tons of land, né? And most of its workers don't qualify for bonds and RDP. They are giving land to everybody else but their workers.
Mm.
When are they going to release land to the workers? That's my question.
Okay. Sunny Boy?
Yes. Morning, Aldrin, and thank you for taking my call. So I would like to ask the spokesperson for the department about the settlement agreement that they had with Nehau. I think it was in 2018, if I'm not mistaken. So the department has agreed to insource or to prioritize the insourcing of security guards and cleaners. But to date, we haven't heard anything from them.
Mm.
So to make the matter worse, so they've advertised some posts at the very same department, employing, I think it was 5 guards. But now, the very same security guard that they've talked that they'll be insourcing, none of them has been shortlisted.
Okay, Sputnik?
Okay, maybe just before I come back to those questions, I had promised you to come back.
Oh,
with
yes,
the
yes, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Just to say that between the 1st of April 2012 and the 31st of September 2019, there was a total number of 249 cases that were reported and which were investigated.
Mm.
Of the 249, 139 were found to be true and needed further investigations, and these were referred to different arms of state, where for disciplinary action, and 110 of them were found to be untrue of the 249. And of the 139 disciplinary cases, there were 86 officials who were found guilty, 14 were found not guilty, 24 resigned, and one official was reinstated after an arbitration process.
Yeah.
And there were 13 dismissals, one demotion, 11 3 months suspension without pay, and 6 2-month suspension without pay for some of the other issues that were raised within that. Yeah. So in terms of the issue that the caller was raising in terms of land to workers, remember that as the Department of Human Settlements, we cannot just look at ourselves, or rather the department cannot look at just, you know, the workers internally. It is a Department of Human Settlements for all South Africans. So all South Africans have got to go through the same process and not necessarily segregate and put people, other people in first in line simply because they happen to be members of, yeah. of a particular department. I think we would have serious problems there.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the settlement agreement, I would need to check exactly where that is. I know about the settlement agreement that was signed. And obviously, those are some of the processes that are happening elsewhere. But it's something that we can always come back as to where exactly that is.
Okay.
And I know that because of the situation that we are in, a lot of work has had to be put on hold.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of adverts that had gone out, they could not be filled, and so on and so forth. But there's still a lot of work to be done.
Okay. There's a question here on Twitter, and I just need you to answer this quickly because we're running out of time. From Calvin, who says that the investigation on the Giani Water Project, how far is that? And while you're at it, also, has the construction restarted again?
Well, you must remember that for the Giani Water Project, our implementing agent is Lepelle Northern Water,
yeah.
And my understanding, the last time I checked, was that work is ongoing. Because there was a time when there was not work happening after the previous contractor left, but our Construction North colleagues then took over that work, and that work is ongoing. I seem to have forgotten the first part of the
investigation.
The investigation is part of what the SIU was involved in. Once that has been finalized, it will be reported accordingly, both to the president and to the minister, obviously. Remember that the SIU was instituted, the activities of the SIU were instituted at the signature of the president.
Okay.
So he would need to get that as well as the minister. And obviously, any recommendation will be followed.
Okay, there's a comment here, or question rather, from Stembis. Unfortunately, Stembis, so we can't take your call, but he wants to know about the status of water in Gwamhlanga.
Oh, that's tough. Gwamhlanga, yes, I know that there is a problem around, I'm not sure if this will be the same area, where it's the JS Moroka local municipality, if that's the area that he's referring to. There is a general problem there. In the first place, that area was affected by drought. But secondly, there was a problem, I think, at some point with the pipeline from Tswane that was assisting there. But there is a lot of work that is happening. I know that recently they actually got some water tanks coming through, but I think there was a problem with the refilling of those tanks. But I can always check with our colleagues in Mpumalanga as to exactly what the situation is.
Please do that. We'll also get the details of Stembiso so that he can give us a detailed report on what his inquiry is around.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.